Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It is our desire to see you participate by calling in. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in the dialogue and discussion, jumping in at any point and place you'd like to. We're going to be dealing with a controversial subject today, as though some of the others are not. Controversial subject that I believe every Christian, every American citizen needs to have a heads up and tuned in to understand this conflict, confusion, and controversy over what is called Islam today. But before we get into the monologue and the dialogue on that, let me remind you, as we face issues, we do so based on the scripture, not just on some philosophy or some feeling. Jesus told his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. By the way, that little word indeed means truly, surely, absolute. So therefore, if you continue in my word, then you are surely one of my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, we need not go any further than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God to find the truth. The Bible is not just a little book with a few words of truth in it. It is total truth. And one of the problems in society today is we have moved so far away from the original, that is the truth, that most time, most do not recognize truth in the society in which we're living today. Before we get into the discussion for today, let me just do a little personal note. I am thankful. I thank God for President Trump. I'm thankful for what God is doing through him. I realize he's a controversial subject, and there are many that will not take that dogmatic stand. I happen to be one that's unafraid to take the stand, and so I believe that God has placed him in the leadership role in America in a timely fashion. I believe it's God's divine intervention that's placed him there. And every day, as Christians, we need to thank God for him, for his leadership, and ask God to protect him and to guide him and to give him the strength and the wisdom to do what God's wanting to accomplish in our nation as a fallen nation, that not only can we make America great again from the standpoint of the economic, socioeconomic picture, but also as a spiritual nation. I'm just thankful to see the success that God has granted him and his team at the Singapore summit for North Korea. I am thankful for the one giant step forward, and all of the pundits of the left-wing social media, the left-wing communist media, the fake news, they're all up in arms and trying to nitpick every word he said and trying to say that it won't ever happen. I'm finding it frightening that the fake news is more interested in winning their point against Trump than to seeing the security and the safety and success for America. That's just my thought. You can ponder on that for a while. We may even do a broadcast during the course of this week talking about the events of the Singapore summit and what it accomplished and what it did not accomplish and where we go from there. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today what I simply call controversy, conflict, and confusion over Islam. I am always amazed, surprised, and saddened when I say anything publicly about Islam and the wickedness, the devastation, and the danger of Islam, of the number of Christians that will often say, well, you know, they're good people and we need to embrace them and they're just a little different. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is not a sister religion to Christianity. And I know that comes as a shock to Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California. Rick Warren has developed a philosophy of Chrislam, that is Christians and Islam. He has the imams, the Muslim imams come in and teach his people from the pulpit in a Christian church. He goes into their mosque and he teaches them praises them and talks about how they love Jesus also. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie from the pits of hell. You study the truth of Islam and you'll find it's diametrically opposed anything that's called Christianity. In fact, in Surah 385, out of their Quran, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. Surah 456 says, those who disbelieve, we will burn them in fire. Surah 4101, all disbelievers, that is non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Allah has prepared a humiliating place of torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 4102. And I could go on and on and on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, God gave me the privilege of writing a book and publishing a book several years ago. The title of the book is Islam Tolerant? It's 25 chapters, 425 pages, and it retails for, I think it is about $20, $19.99. But I want to make that book available today at half that figure, $10. As a contribution, a donation toward the support of this radio ministry, Let's Face the Issues, we will send you the book, the 25-chapter Is Islam Tolerant book. Every Christian needs to know it, read it, study it. And it's not just my philosophy. It goes back to the rudimentary fundamental research from history past and from their own Quran as to who they are. You can call in or email at info@conservative.edu. info@conservative.edu. Leave your name, address, and telephone number. We'll be delighted to send that to you. Someone can call you and get your charge card information for the $10 cost of it, and we will send it to you and pay the postage to get it to you. I'm that passionate about this subject today. But listen, recently an article, news article stated, Texas councilman pressured to quit for wanting Islam out of the public schools in Texas. You're right. The article's title, Texas Councilman Pressured to Quit for Wanting Islam Out of Public Schools. It's a two-page article. I'll just give a couple of blurbs. In yet another sign of the confusion of our age, Plano, Texas City Councilman Tom Harrison is in hot water. The mayor wants him to resign and said, and local Muslim groups are also planning protests until he does resign. His crime? Calling for a ban of Islam in public schools, in which no religion is supposed to be taught as fact or as favor. Further, the article says the controversy began when Harrison shared a short video on his Facebook page with the words, quote, share if you think Trump should ban Islam in American schools, end quote. Mr. Harrison's position indicates, according to the mayor, that he is unfit to represent this richly diverse city. The conduct is inconsistent with the values of the city of Plano, Texas. The Muslim imam, peaceful Islam, if you will, the Dallas imam, last year prevailed upon Google. Listen, this same imam, which is Omar Suleiman in Dallas, prevailed upon Google to alter its search engine results to cancel any criticism of Islam. He also is engaged in trying to force this councilman to resign. Further, the article says, in the face of this onslaught, Harrison folded almost completely, issuing an apology. Now, I'm saddened by that. That's the approach of Islam. It is to condemn, it is to threaten, it is to in some way intimidate and challenge, because you know, as you hear it on the secular news, Islam is a peaceful religion, and some have just hijacked the religion. Ladies and gentlemen, if they read the Quran and if they believe the Quran, according to the 2006 FBI report, which was finally summarized from the 9/11 event, FBI report of 2006 said that the cause of the 9/11 atrocities on America was the fact that those that read the Quran believed it and put it into practice. Now, you can't get any clearer than the fact that the Quran and the reading and the practicing of the Quran, and if you're a true Muslim, that's what you do. So don't you tell me, give me this stuff that some Islam is okay and others are not. My simple question is, do you read the Quran? If they say yes, if you believe the Quran, if they say yes, if you believe you need to obey the Quran, and if they say yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's a jihadist in waiting. That's all I can say. The councilman in Texas went on to apologize and wrote a lengthy apology. I made a little marginal note in this article. Sad. Yet the Muslims' approach is to threaten, to intimidate, until one bows to Allah. You realize the name Islam means to submit. It is submission and surrendering unto Allah. And Allah is not the creator, controller, God of the universe. Today, ladies and gentlemen, politicians are silent. Preachers are silent. Public officials are silent on the subject of Islam. And yet you can go back to history past and study the history past and realize that they have an awful, atrocious record for some 1,450 years of murder and mayhem and massacre on any that refuse to follow their ideology. So is Islam peaceful? Should we be concerned for our future in America? What do we find in other nations? Is Islam peaceful? Here's an article that I won't bore you with, but it is a treasure trove for anybody that wants to study the subject. Chris Gabatz, G-A-U-B-A-T-Z. I believe some pronounce it Gobbets, but I've called it Chris Gabatz because his dad, Dave, and Chris were able to penetrate the Islamic headquarters in Virginia. They went in, or he, Chris, the son, went in under the pseudonym of a Muslim name and was as a volunteer. He was able to get some 40 or 50 boxes of material that they had asked him to take to the local shredders and have it shredded. He took it out of the building as they had asked him to, so he didn't steal it. They asked him to take it out. And as a result of just 12 of those documents, out of 50 boxes of documents, just 12 of those documents, Dave Gabatz and Chris co-authored a book called The Muslim Mafia. And The Muslim Mafia is a frightening book to read of the plans and the 20-year program that's been instituted by the Islamics in America to take over the United States of America. And this article, titled Chris Gabatz's Testimony, Willful Blindness, semicolon, Consequences of Agency Efforts to De-emphasize Radical Islam in Combating Terrorism, Subcommittee on Oversight, Agency Action, and the Federal Rights and the Federal Courts. It's a report that's dated June 28th of 2016, and it was when Chris Gabatz was at the committee, which was the Oversight Committee for Terrorism and the federal courts and the action of the government. And it was by the congressman that listened. And the introduction to his testimony, he says, "I am a national security consultant with a company called Understanding the Threat, or UTT. UTT is the only organization in America which trains law enforcement, intelligence professionals, military, and leaders on the threat from the global Islamic movement, the doctrine of jihad groups, and how to identify, investigate, and dismantle them. At UTT, we hold the firm belief that in order to defeat the global Islamic movement, we must understand the enemy. U.S. military warfighting doctrine, specifically the Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield Manual, states that the war planners must begin all analyses of the enemy's threat of with the enemy, with who the enemy says they are and why they are fighting us. Universally, the enemy, jihadists, whether they are ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or the Muslim Brotherhood, all state that they are Muslims waging jihad in the case of Allah to establish an Islamic state under Sharia law globally." Ladies and gentlemen, I need not read any further. But simply put, out of this, his testimony before the Intelligence Committee in Washington, he laid out the groundwork of what the jihadists are really planning for the United States of America and globally. And yet, our politicians are silent. I'm thankful to see some illumination of some in some areas about the danger, but I am, if you please, on the rooftop screaming, danger, 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 when our demographers tell us that by 2050, you might think that's a long time off. But the older you get, the faster these days pass, ladies and gentlemen. 2050 is around the corner. And demographers tell us that by 2050, the United States of America will be dominated by Islam. Now, if that doesn't frighten your socks off, there's something wrong with your intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're encouraged to call. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Gets you straight through to the studios and the microphone where we can have the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've never heard some of these statements. Perhaps you disagree with these statements. I've had a number of Christians that are so ignorant about the subject, they don't recognize their sheer ignorance, and they want to mitigate against someone confronting a issue with truth. And I stand with a fist of documents anytime I speak on the subject. I've had the privilege of lecturing on this subject across the state and in many other venues in dealing with the dangers of Islam. And invariably, there'll be someone says, well, they seem to be such nice people and so palatable, et cetera, et cetera. Islam's history is that they will go into a community, a city, or a state, or a nation, and they will be basically dormant and silent as far as standing up until they reach the number, listen carefully, until they reach between 4 and 6%. When they reach 4 to 6% of any community, any society, any state, they will rise up and demand allegiance and control of that city, state, community, or nation. And that's where Europe finds itself today. Ladies and gentlemen, Sweden, France, Italy, Germany, England are all now under the absolute dominating thumb of Islam. But I want us to understand Erdogan, for example, Erdogan, the president of the prime minister, whatever he calls himself, of Turkey, just declared, and I'm reading an article dated June the 10th of 2018. The article says Erdogan predicts war between the cross and crescent over Austria mosque closures. The Turkish president attacked Austria's impending closure of mosque and consequent explosion of Turkish-funded imams, expulsion that is, saying the move is anti-Islamic while promising a response. These measures taken by the Austrian prime ministers are, I fear, leading the world toward the war, a war between the cross and the crescent. Of course, the cross standing for Christianity, the crescent being the symbol for Islam, and in the cross and the crescent, there has been a battle now for 1,450 years, because within Islam, you are an infidel if you're a non-practicing, non-believing Muslim, or if you're a Christian, or a Jew. I believe we have a caller on the line. Jose, go ahead with your comment or your question.
Hey, I was talking to my brother this morning. He lives in England for so many years, and he was telling me the same thing that you are talking about it this morning. But it's unfortunate to see how the media hide the truth and doesn't want to mention it. The problem with the Muslims is they don't want to assimilate the culture where they are living. They want everybody to assimilate to their belief. And they isolated themselves because my brother was looking for an address in an area in London. He got lost, and he thought that he was in the Middle East. The woman was covered from head to toe. You only can see the eyes. Well, my brother was living as a dressed as a Westerner. The look that they gave him, they make him feel unwelcome, and he felt threatened by his life, and he just fled the place. And he said, I cannot believe it. And that's the problem with the politicians. They just don't care about the well-being of the nation. And they just, everything is racism, racism, racism. Wait a minute, these people are taking over in America, and the entire world needs to wake up. And that has nothing to do with Christianity. It's the opposite. That's a cult. And they don't believe in Jesus the same way we do. So that's my comment, and you were right on point.
Well, Jose, listen, hold on, and let's continue this dialogue. In London, England today, the majority of the police officers will not even go into the Islamic areas of the city. The Islamic areas of the cities, you say, in fact, as one has written on the subject, says they have street names that you can't even pronounce. You have women that you can't even see. You have the leaders there that absolutely reject anything that's called westernization or civilization. And it goes back to almost the 7th and the 8th centuries as to their practices and lifestyle. And yet we're made to believe by the politicians on a global basis that somehow we need to accept that. But as you said, they refuse to assimilate. They want to be segregated, separate, but they want to dominate, and they want you to be tolerant of them while they are intolerant of each and every individual that is non-Muslim. It is frightening to me.
Yes, it is exactly right. And I told my brother in plain English, and I said, hey, listen, he's like, you're welcoming somebody in your house with the goodness of your heart because you want that person to succeed. But the next day, you find out that that person is trying to tell you, well, I don't like those wall colors, I don't like that TV, I don't like the sofa, and this place here is ugly. I want to change it. I asked my brother, what will you do? Well, I kicked him out. I said, well, that's what happened in Europe, and it's going on in America. But we got coward politicians that they just don't do anything about it. And as Christians, we have to pray, and we have to be alert and teaching the next generation. Islam is not a religion like Christianity. I'm sorry. You can have the most radical Christian. I can call it an Amish. They are a peaceful person. They don't assimilate the world. They don't believe many things that we don't believe. But you never see an Amish killing himself in the name of Jesus. And that's the difference. These people are not, they're not coming in a good intention, because that book tells them otherwise. You know what I mean? And you mention it. And,
absolutely.
And
in fact, Jose, you touched on it. In the Quran, there's about 3,000 surahs. We call them verses. There's about 3,000 surahs in the Quran. It's the noble Quran, which is viewed as the most revered Quran in Islamic culture. And I happen to study from the noble Quran and all of the leadership and the scholarship of the noble Quran and their footnotes. And it is egregious to understand that out of the total 3,000 surahs making up the total Quran, 87% is ideology, 13% is based on religion, but it has nothing to do with what we think about religion in the Western world today, in the Western hemisphere. It has nothing to do with belief in the true God. In fact, the God that you and I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a loving God. Allah that they serve is the moon god of the Bedouins of the 7th century, that is a god of hate, that if you do wrong, he wants to slay you. And at his prerogative, according to the Quran, he can destroy you. And that's not the God that we serve. The Jesus they serve is not the same Jesus that we serve, because Jesus that we serve is God's son. And they laugh and mock in their own Quran that Allah was not married. He did not have a wife. Therefore, how could he have a son? And they laugh at. In fact, the last 25 pages in the back of the Quran, the noble Quran, is a total mockery and a total assassination of anything that's called biblical Christianity. And yet we have so many politicians today and preachers today and public officials today that will embrace Islam and say we need to love them, we need to embrace them, we need to at least go along with them. If you want to know what Islam will do in any city or nation, go to Dearborn, Michigan. Go to most parts of Michigan today where city hall, the city government, everything to do with city leadership and the governmental leadership is made up of Islam. Islamic Sharia law is now taking a foothold, a toehold in the United States of America, with judges that are making decisions from the bench based on the Quran and not based on the U.S. Constitution or American law.
So yeah, they isolate themselves. They isolate themselves, and that is an example. They don't want to assimilate the culture where they move. They want the people where they move to assimilate to the culture, and that's the problem that we have. Not only that, look at the way they treat the women. Stone Age practices.
Yes.
And you're going to tell me that the liberal politicians and the liberal preachers that are, according to them, fighting for the woman's rights, but yet they support this nonsense religion that they treat the woman less than an animal? I mean, the hypocrisy is amazing.
That's it is, and they're closing their eyes to the reality of it. In fact, one of the things that's such a great problem is that our schools, not just the colleges and universities, but the junior high and high schools are now permeating their classroom and their teaching with Islam. In fact, here's an article that I have in my hand, school assignment, write to your family saying that you've converted to Islam. Another article here talks about where, here's one says, let's see if I can find it, Muslim burns churches in traps with Christians trapped inside. Hundreds of Muslims celebrate after the attack of the ruined church in Pakistan. And I have article after article after article with documentation where our schools are allowing the students to leave classroom and go and have five prayers a day. They provide our schools with taxpayer dollars, providing them a place to pray to Allah, prayer rugs for them to fall down on and pray to Allah. And yet you can't have a cross in the classroom. You can't have a Bible in the classroom. You can't pray in the classroom. You can't talk about Jesus. And yet they're pushing Islam in our schools today. It's frightening to me.
But you got all these wicked groups. And if you look at it, it's a small minority. You got the homosexual groups. They're not even 3%, but yet they're running their mouths as if they were the 97% in this nation. The same thing with the Muslim. You got a small population in the single digits, but the media make it sound as if they were the 90% of the American people. My question is, where is the American people standing up for this nation? This is crazy, and this is sad.
It is sad, but here's what's happening, Jose, and it's sad to say, and I'm not buying into just because President Trump said, but we have fake news today. Fake news today, it is almost a socialistic, communistic, Marxist approach to controlling the minds of the people. When you turn on the average news channel, they're not reporting the facts of what is taking place. They're reporting as they want us to be indoctrinated with what they're saying and to believe it. Therefore, most Christians today, most general citizens today are not fully aware of what's taking place in society. With the sodomite movement, the LGBT, they're not completely cognizant on and not understanding what's happening with the Islamic movement and the takeover that is taking place in our nation today. It is sad, but as Christians, we need to recognize that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, that we need to recognize and turn back to God if we're wanting God to save our nation today.
Amen, brother, and pray for America. God bless you, and thank you for your program.
Thank you. God bless you for your call, Jose. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the controversies, as I call it, and the conflict and the confusion over Islam. Here's some of the things that we need to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that's being implemented in America by Islam. Many schools and colleges providing the prayer rugs and Islamic students with an opportunity to pray and to have their lessons about Islam. Schools provide the opportunity for Islamic students to leave the classroom to go pray in the prayer rugs, yet prayer is not allowed in the classroom for the Christians student. Teachers encouraging discussion on Islam and forbid discussion on Christianity. Some judges in America are allowing Sharia law, that's Islamic Quranic law, in the courtrooms, and I am thankful that on one occasion President Trump has absolutely removed one Islamic judge from doing so. Here's an article that I close with. President Trump removes a Muslim federal judge for trying to implement Sharia law in American courts. It's the 22nd Circuit Court of Appeals, and the judge was an Islamic judge that was trying to introduce Sharia law and make the ruling and decisions based on the Quran and not based on the Constitution. It is my prayer that we will see others continue to take a stand. But our preachers are silent. Our politicians are silent. When's the last time you heard a preacher stand in the pulpit and then warn of the Quran and the dangers of it and who Jesus Christ really is versus what Islam is saying that it is? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Islamic goal is to destroy the infidel, destroy the Jew, destroy the Christian, and every non-Muslim is considered an infidel. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. Look up, lift up your eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh. Tune in again tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.